The life happened yeared.
Yeared?
Yeared. I like yeared.
What's a yeared?
I don't know, but we've just made a new word. This may be the cold open that we have a yeared.
Are we trying to make fetch happen?
There are worse ways to make fetch happen. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Gen X Stories, a podcast about how the so-called lost generation found itself. We are your hosts, Eve and Lori. Chris and Courtney are away, so the two of us are taking over the mic. And with a timely topic, making friends at midlife. Weird, you say? Well, you may be surprised to hear that Lori and I have never met, at least not in person. And all that changed, and we're going to spill all of the tea. Well, most of the tea. Not only did we meet and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, we had dinner with two other new friends that we made through our Facebook group. So here's the question. Is there a trick to making new friends at midlife? And are those rules different than when you were younger? Or is it just dumb freaking luck? Let's find out. On with the show. Hi, Lori.
Hey, Chica.
It's just us. This season has been absolutely impossible to get the four of us together at the same time.
It's been rough.
It's a lifey kind of year.
I know.
Like I said in our intro, every time I talk to people about the four of us, they are not only surprised that up until that point that the other three of you hadn't met, and that has now changed, but they're very surprised out of all of us, you and I have never met.
Well, hadn't met. We solved that.
We record, we look at each other. So we have a Zoom up, we can see each other. So it's not like I've never seen Lori in real life, well, in a box, but we never did 2D. We never did it in person. So first off, why don't we go back to the beginning? How were you and I introduced?
You and I were introduced by my friend and former boss, Elisa Camelhart Page. Yeah. And so you and I had a chat and gosh, it had to have been 19. Yeah.
Yeah. It was
2019 before, the pandemic.
It was not only before the pandemic. It was after I lost my job because I was looking around at different people and different types of jobs.
All I know is that for whatever reason, we clicked. And here we are just short of 4 years later. But the fact that we had never met in person, it wasn't that crazy because two things. It was COVID and we live on opposite coasts. So it's not like you live 10 minutes away and we just never got around to it.
Right.
I mean, it was going to take an effort. I was thinking about this, preparing my loose preparation, meaning I was thinking about the show. That was my preparation. I was thinking how much I actually talk to you.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk several times a week for sure. I feel like we probably text every day. Which is crazy.
We talked to each other. We clicked. And then you joined the Facebook group for the podcast.
Right. I forgot about that. And I started doing the happy hours.
And you were very active in the happy hours and in the group. And so when season one of the podcast, which was in the summer of 2020, started to, let's just say, go sideways. And I rethought format. I started thinking of people who could come together. And you mentioned pandemic. I had been seeing Chris a lot because we did a Brandeis Zoom every week. I saw Courtney a couple times because we did a pen thing. And so they were top of my mind. And Sasha Cohen was our first season. And I've known her since I moved to DC. But Courtney was college and then Chris was grad school. I'm like, well, those are older friends that could work. And then I'm like, we need a fourth. And for some reason you popped in my head because you'd been present. And so I reached out to each one of you. I probably knew you for less than a year before I asked you to join.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a podcast about midlife. And I made a brand new friend and I'm asking her to join the two older friends. It was a Hail Mary. I'm not sure what popped in my head, but it made sense to me. And when four of us get together and the three of you chat, I'm like, I don't know why that works, but it fucking works.
Well, it's funny because you posted an encore of our first
episode.
And I was listening to it and I thought, God, we were so tentative with each other. And now it's like brothers and sisters.
Right. And it's like, wait, fuck you. No, fuck you.
Yeah. It happened pretty quick. Like once we got through like that first episode, I think when it happened was the episode about
It was crushes. Yep. It was because of Mary Tyler Moore.
It was because of poor Chris and Mary Tyler Moore. And Courtney she just let loose on him. And so
that broke the ice.
That like opened the floodgates of friendship.
So a lot of people have an issue making friends, new friends at midlife. life. This was predicated on the fact that the four of us would become literal friends because it would not work if we pretended. It had be midlife friends who talk about shit.
And we have separately developed those friendships. So not just like, oh, it's we get on these podcasts and we record. But I mean, Courtney called me yesterday. She had like 5 minutes to talk.
I got to tell you, the first time that started to happen.
Yeah.
It was when you guys started talking to each other outside of the podcast.
Yeah.
My little dark little heart did a flutter.
It's kind of cool, huh?
Because that's friendship. That's really and developing friendships at our age is hard.
No, it's really hard.
And I don't understand why it wasn't. I mean, I'm grateful that it wasn't for the four of us, but from again, my crack research team, it ain't fucking easy. Why is it not easy, do you think, to make a friend at midlife? Just let's say one friend at a time.
I think for me, it's because I'm pretty set in my ways at this age. And so to find somebody that is a complement to my value system, my political system. That's a tough one.
That's a big one.
I mean, look at how hard it's been for us to try and get together to record. When we were younger, we didn't have all these external things that were pulling us. Like I'm talking about younger, like in high school and even college years, we didn't have as many outside factors. I mean, people have families, they have children, they've got aging parents. And so there's all these external factors that pull from us. And so to maintain a friendship is hard enough. To make new friends
it's almost impossible.
You have to really put effort in to do it.
And the thing, again, research, some places that people make friends, they make them in school, work, you get the work wife, the work husband, through other friends, maybe. A lot of times, Courtney has actually talked about friends because they have the same age kids and they go to the same school.
Right.
So like similarities, I think, bring people together, whether they want to or not. For example, school parents are together no matter what. But if they become friends, that's great. But just putting people in the same space doesn't actually mean that they become friends. That's also part of it. So there's a little bit of fucking fairy dust.
Yeah.
Involved in all of this that I'm always going to be grateful for. It's not bullshit. So if we text every day, it's almost just a heart. There's a connection.
But that's effort.
I think that's the other piece of becoming friends by choice, regardless of your age. It requires effort. But there are vehicles through which it makes it easier. I mean, I will tell you that while the pandemic wasn't easy, the pandemic spurred a lot of these conversations in boxes because you couldn't be next to somebody necessarily, even if they were nearby you. So we did these Zooms. We still have three
Zooms.
You
did these Zooms. Okay, let's be super clear. Like, you put a lot of effort into your relationships. You do. Like, I wasn't doing any Zooms.
Oh, you weren't?
I wasn't. No.
But you came to ours. You came to ours.
Because I thought it would be fun. Like, to meet people. Because not everybody is like-minded, but we had similarities. Then I thought, okay, we've been having fun conversation on the Facebook group. I'm going to join this Zoom. But there's a lot of effort required to maintain friendships in middle age. God, middle age.
Middle age.
And you are one of those people that puts in a lot of effort. And so I am very grateful for that.
I appreciate that. I don't see it that way, which is so strange because I am a natural introvert. So speaking to people takes effort.
See? But you created one for your high school group.
Yep.
The
grad school.
The Gen X Facebook group.
Yeah.
But you still have maintained that effort. And it's important.
I think that's the one thing, too. I mean, we did a whole episode called Ride or Die about friendships.
Well, you know where I am.
And I got the shovel and we're all set. But when we did that episode, and even since, I was surprised that a lot of people were different from me in the fact that they don't still have friendships with their high school friends or their college friends, let alone after. Because just last summer, I had a reunion, which we talked about on the show, for my college. Mm-hmm. And Courtney was there because it's like we roll right into it. It doesn't matter that it's been 30 years. I went to a private girls' school from fifth grade to 12th. Mm-hmm. Some friends I've known since fifth grade. We still meet once a month. And then there was a text chain that happened the other day. So I was surprised to hear that that's not normal?
I think it just depends. Like for me, and I'm not counting Facebook, okay, because that's a whole different medium that has created connection, right? But outside of social media, I have maybe 3 friends from high school that I still talk to on a fairly regular basis. Now, I mean,
better than nothing.
That have a straight line through, not that we're broken up. Right. Because it was before cell phones. It was before social media. It was before all of that. So have I reconnected with people from high school? Yes, but not the through line.
I don't slice and dice it the same way because I've known many of these people for a very, very long time. But before social media, we didn't keep up with each other. I'll be honest. They were out there. I knew they were there. But when Facebook became popular, I reconnected with a lot of those people. And then that started again. So there was a break. But the interesting part about it to me is that at midlife, to reconnect with these people, it's like we're still 12 years old.
Good or bad?
I think it's good. I think it's good because these are people who we remember things that happened in high school. We remember things that happened in middle school. 2 of the girls were in my wedding.
Wow.
It's just something that's there. And then I don't want to get too personal, but they came to my father's funeral. Unprompted. I remember turning around in that first pew and looking and seeing my friends from Baldwin and how much that fucking meant. Because they've known him as long as they've known me. So, I mean, there's always some extenuating circumstances. There's always reasons that you stay connected, I guess, or the reasons that they come back and they show their true colors and they're there. But it has brought up this topic. Do you rely at this age on old friends? And if that doesn't work, how do you make the new ones?
I think first we have to define old friends because I have long-term friends that I did not know in high school, but I have friends that I've been friends with for 20 plus years.
That counts.
It's funny that we're having this conversation because it's been especially hard just having moved during the pandemic from Northern California back home to Southern California, not being married, not having children. I don't have those common denominators, especially the children part. Courtney will talk about how she has become friends with people like you mentioned just a few moments ago.
The moms,
right? Or the dads. Yep. I don't want to discount the dads. Then it was a pandemic, so we couldn't really go out. If not for those longer term friendships that have, it would have been a very lonely. Thank God for texting and FaceTime. I'm not the biggest FaceTime person.
Facebook.
No, FaceTime. Okay.
You do FaceTime. I don't do FaceTime.
Sometimes. Yeah, that's not my preferred, unless I haven't actually seen you for a while, and then I want to see your face. But it's a lot of phone calls. It's a lot of texting. And I think to myself, thank God for unlimited plans.
Right. Remember back in the day where you couldn't call until after 9 o'clock.
And after 7 or 9 on weekends. And
limited number of texts, remember? And then you get charged per text. Yeah, what would we do? I wouldn't be sending the hearts. A single word and then a single word and a single word. It would have been like, here's a long text.
Here's a paragraph. Yeah. Here's my essay.
That brings up a really good point about being cut off from people and how do you make friends, and especially during a pandemic. Because I think a lot of the people we talked about who met us for that dinner were pandemic friends.
They are.
And they came together in a very natural way. I think that's also something I want to talk about, is that if you force a friendship, it isn't going to happen.
Correct.
Which is so strange because I forced the four of us to get together on this. But it somehow felt natural. But friendship has to be evolving from a connection.
I have a very different philosophy on friends than a lot of people. I don't believe friendships are forever.
Really? We talked about this.
I'm not talking about that whole like quote lifetime, whatever that thing. That's not what I mean. I just mean that sometimes people come into your life for short periods of time and it's okay. I also believe some friendships end and that's okay too. I don't subscribe to the idea, well, if I know you now, I should know you in 20 years.
How does that affect your friendship? When you meet somebody new and you get to be friends with them, is that in the back of your head saying, well, we'll see?
I hope that it doesn't end poorly.
We hope.
But sometimes life just gets in the way.
Yeah. Well,
I've at least said it half a dozen times, but while we are friends, and if I consider you in my circle, if you are someone I care about that I spend time with, if I become a ride or die, but I also don't take it personal. Like if I don't hear from somebody for 6 months, I don't go to the whole, what did I do wrong?
Does that still happen in our life?
Yes.
People still do that?
Yes.
I didn't.
Yes. I don't like, did I say something wrong? Did I text something wrong? That just never even crosses my mind. I know when I've said something. Okay. Like I know. And either I have made it right or I said it on purpose and I'm okay with that.
And like, bye-bye. I did younger when I was younger because you're insecure.
More insecure.
Right. There's insecurity. There are a lot of people who are more outgoing than I am. Mm. And you feel that those are the people who are going to attract all the friends because they are out there actively. And the people who are in the back become theater designers in the dark. But the people who are in the background don't often get that. And I always remember this. I don't know why my mom said it, but I think I had a trouble with a girl in fifth or sixth grade that we were fighting. I think I actually pulled her chair away and she fell on the ground and I got into trouble. Right. And we were supposed to be like, to the adults, we were best buddies and we were fighting. And so I got into trouble and my mother talked to me about it. And she's like, what? You don't need a lot of friends. You need one really good friend. That's it.
She's right.
Don't count on numbers. Don't say you have this clique. We didn't get into personalities of introverted. We knew that at that point because it was in the 80s. But she's like, all you need is one really good friend. And that has always stuck with me because I'm never looking to count the number of people I will call a friend. It's the depth versus the narrowness of numbers. I was in a smaller school, so there were fewer people. When you're in a bigger school, there's lots of folks. How do you find your way? College was like that because I went from a class of 34 to a class of 2000.
So the fact still cracks me up that there were only 34 people in your class.
Yep. Girls. All girls. And the fact that you could find anybody.
Yeah.
Is amazing. And then find them is one thing, but then become friends with them. Because again, at this reunion from University of Pennsylvania, we sat around and we would talk about shit. Here was the theater show we did when we were juniors. But it's obvious we're not just friendly. We're friends.
Are you friends or are you acquaintances? Or because, I mean, there is a difference, right?
There's a difference. I think that some are probably a little closer to acquaintances. A lot of them popped up to take a role when my dad died. And there's no question that that's a friend.
100%.
One of the first people that I met at Penn, her name is Abby. We've been friends since 1987 and she's in the Foreign Service. So she came to reunion. We saw each other, but she'll always, like, wherever she is, she messages me. We're not sure what to talk about. We share Netflix. It's just
la, 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 right? La, la.
But I've never not considered her a friend, even in periods of time where we didn't talk to each other because she was busy. I'd busy in all this stuff, but there's more friends than just, hey, how you doing? Because those are the people, especially in college, those are the people you see at reunion. Like, I'm like, oh, I recognize that person. Yeah, I know them. Maybe it's ride or die. It's like, if I make the effort and I become friends with you, unless you do something egregious, we are in it. Like, Abby actually fell and she cracked her head during the time my dad got sick. And I'm like, do you need me to send something? She actually had to be airlifted and she's okay now. But she told me before she told her family.
Yeah.
Because we've just known each other since we were 17 years old. So there's some connections I think that are longstanding. I guess maybe I shouldn't assume that they're always going to be there, but I assume they're always going to be there. Mm-hmm. So why were you in my hood
that
we could actually meet?
Yes. So I was, oddly enough, for the first time in my life, was traveling to Washington, D.C.
Can't believe you've never been here.
Which is shocking considering how interested I am in politics.
Motherlode.
Yeah. It was like coming home.
Yeah.
So when I knew, I was supposed to go, was I supposed to go a year ago?
And then
it got canceled because of the pandemic. And so this time it was like, okay, it's really happening. And so anyway, work took me to DC. You and I planned a dinner. You planned the dinner. And we met at this really fabulous little restaurant. And then another gal, Kimberly, who we know through our
Facebook group,
she was going to be in DC at the same time. So then Christine was... She was like, okay, now I'm going to join. And Rita was supposed to join.
Yeah.
Because at first it was just supposed to be me and you.
Right. And then it expanded people.
And then I didn't realize you had never met Christine in person.
Or anybody.
Well, I knew Kimberly because Kimberly lives in Texas.
Christine lives nearby. She doesn't. Well, she lives like,
she
like
lives
40
nearby.
Minutes. Yeah.
You know, like, away. So I just had assumed that you.
Nope.
Because of the way we all engage and interact with each other. And so meeting face to face was just sort of the icing on the cake for me. I mean, like, I think I might have hugged you for like a full 10 minutes.
It was that moment that it was like, oh my God, this is my friend in person. But I wasn't nervous because it's like, I know you.
Yeah.
But then you get to see the corporeal part of it, which is so strange because friendship doesn't have to be built on being in person that way. That's what I found so fascinating about that whole night and meeting you and finally getting to see you in the flesh.
And how we all, like, we sat there and Rita, we missed you. Like, we had known each other for, honestly, years.
Years.
It just, like, the joking was back and forth, the teasing, the real life conversations.
Yeah. The sharing, you know, the food.
Sharing food.
Drinks.
Drinks. It was just so special.
Yeah. But it so made special. It made me think about this whole issue. How do you become friends? How did that happen? Like, maybe there's no answer. To be honest, there may not be an answer. It may just be the type of people who are drawn to each other.
Yeah.
Regardless of how it used to be important that you're in the same room. It isn't anymore. It hasn't been. And you hear a lot about people who are on social media who, actually, I think I sent all of you guys a picture. It's like, we finally meet your social media friends. And it's like, yeah.
Well, but there's also, I don't know for this, and I don't know if a lot of people know this, but there's a Bumble has a friendship part of their app.
I knew that. You can actually become
BFFs. And I have a friend, one of my BFFs has started to try and find friends because she's up north and she's met a few people that, like, they have coffee, but it's so funny. It sounds like a date in a lot of ways because you're like, are we going to gel? Are we going to jive? Do we have the same things in common? Because you literally put your likes and dislikes and just like dating.
It's a dating app. It's right swipe, left swipe, and it's friendship.
But she's met some cool people. So I'm thinking that might be a way for me to meet people locally. Because I have a lot of friends. I'm fortunate. I have good friends. Like you said, it's quality versus quantity.
Yes.
But not locally.
So not people to do things with.
Right.
Yeah. That's an important part of friendship.
Not the dinner, like, let's go grab a bite or let's go see a movie. Not those. I mean, those take effort because my friends that are in Southern California are not near me. So that's like a day.
Yeah. Right. Even you met Courtney and it's like, you get down to Santa Monica is not short.
No, it's not just time. It's mileage. Because in LA, is it mileage or time?
Traffic or both.
So my friends that are in Southern California, when I see them, we make a day because people are coming from
multiple places.
So it's very hard to say, did you feel like catching a movie? Because there's no catch a movie friends.
Right. Because you have to plan it. It has to be intentional.
And the funny thing is that so when I moved back to Southern California, I made a conscious effort to get to know my neighbors.
Good call.
Because I had really good neighbors up north, like really, really, really amazing neighbors who I became friends with. Like, I call them real friends. And I was invited by this lady who lives about four houses down. She invited me to have lunch with she and two of her friends. I want to say they might be between like 5 and 10 years older than me. So we just went to this little local restaurant and I thought, I can meet some friends. This is kind of exciting. Remember like when we first started about like your political and your moral?
Yeah. No bueno.
Did not align. At all. Now I'm still friendly with her. I'm neighborly. I kept my mouth shut. Because I don't want to alienate her or anyone. Especially if I know I'm not going to spend a lot of time with them. Like, what does it matter? I had lunch. Who cares?
Right. And you mentioned the really important word. There's friends and there's friendly.
Yeah.
I'm
friendly with her.
Right. But no need to be deep in. I think that's a really good approach. But then this notion of sort of a person to go to movies with, oddly, I have people around me. Like we talked about Christine, who's not far. Rita's even closer. Rita didn't come to our dinner. She's been on the podcast. But she and I actually finally met at a coffee shop. And it was
I thought you guys had known each other.
We didn't know each other. She lives even closer to me than Christine. And we actually made a pact that we're going to see each other and do things more often. But it's hard. Again, I think because I'm an introvert. Having friends that are in another state are good. Having friends through social media are good because I sort of gain the friendship aspect of it, but I don't have to have the in-person stress. Because sometimes for an introvert to be out in public with humans is stressful. But a girl who was in my wedding, who I met at AOL. I was working at AOL. It's my first real job, which we talked about. Her name is Penny. Penny and I've been friends ever since.
Sweet Penny.
We suffered through all the slings and arrows of pod politics and all that bullshit. She was in my wedding. And not only was she in my wedding, there was actually two girls who were staying at my house before the wedding. And one girl was in the guest room and Penny was in my room. I had a bed in my room on top of the Jack's area. You remember the Jack's area you gave
me?
Oh,
I know
about
the Jack's.
We covered the Jack's
area.
Your
little section for your Jack's. So right. You could play Jack's in your room.
When I grew up, we put a bed on it and I couldn't sleep the night before my wedding. Couldn't sleep. And Penny stayed up with me and we played Scrabble all night. And I always, it's just like little things like that. We've remained friends. She's traveled. She came out. She married her wife. They moved to Maine. Everything was great. And then everything went to shit. While I was in Philadelphia with my father sick, she decided to move to DC. And then she was asking me about where I live. And I'm like, you could move into my building because it's not far from where you're teaching. And she did. So,
and it's been very cool.
And she's three floors above me in my building. And so after how many years, I now have somebody who I could say, let's go to the movies. I really don't think I've had that since I got divorced. That's a long-term friendship that was really virtual in a lot of ways, but stayed close. And now she's that person. We talk about our building is our middle-aged dorm because and with very expensive rooms. I go up to her apartment. I don't have shoes on. I'm wearing my PJ bottoms.
Jammies.
Right. I think that's a degree of friendship and closeness that you can't make. There's no way to artificially make that shit happen. And a lot of people, again, try to do it. I think it just happens. And then look back and go, well, shit, that's true friendship. And to your point, I have had friends who were temporary that I've had to sort of say, because it becomes clear that you're not of the same material.
And to me, that's okay.
I agree with you. I think friendships you form in midlife and friendships that come back together in midlife are critical. We even have stats on this. Say, conventional wisdom holds that it's harder to make friends as we get older. Friendships are a key indicator of both happiness and longevity as we age. A strong social network reduces the risk of early death by 45%. By contrast, social isolation and loneliness are linked to higher risks of dementia, heart disease, depression, and other harms to mental and physical health. Research even indicates that loneliness is as much a health risk as smoking 15 cigarettes a day or being an alcoholic.
I believe it. 100%.
I do too, but I guess I didn't put it together until I read that. I'm like, I don't know. I guess I'm a Pollyanna. We've always discussed that I'm naive.
Yes, you are.
I'm a Pollyanna. So I just assume that good things will be the case. I assume that people who are in your life are good people. They will remain good people. You will have a support network. But can you imagine if you are cut off from people? And you read a stat like that, what do you do?
Yeah, that would be depressing. I mean, it's depressing and I have friends.
Right.
But I'm listening to those stats and you hear about people who die of loneliness.
Which is actually legit.
And it's real.
It's real.
It's super real. And it makes me very sad because I may not have a ton of friends, but it's what you were saying earlier. It's the quality over the quantity. And I've got some pretty quality friends, let me tell you.
When I had friends when I was in my 20s, I don't know if we were as honest because I don't think we didn't know enough shit. And now people who are in my life aren't platitude friends. They're like, dude, really?
I haven't really talked much about this because it's just still very difficult. But my brother passed away in May of last year. And it's the worst thing that's happened in my life so far. And having friends that can say, okay, what? Those are hard conversations for friends to have, to say those kinds of honest things.
Yeah.
But if you have friends that can be that honest with you, you're lucky. You are a lucky human to have, because like you said, platitude friends are,
who cares? We've gotten to the point that it's like, why do you bother? I'm not going to give you any effort because there's no longevity here. And I don't get anything out of it except you patting me on the head.
Yeah, right. Right.
I don't need
that. And vice versa. Like knowing that I can be honest with my friends and that they're going to listen. They might not be happy, but they're going to listen.
Yeah.
And that's important. And I think that's what's different. And I think that's why it's harder as you get older, because my tolerance for the BS is
shorter.
It's pretty non-existent. And I'm not going to waste it on people who can't be honest with me, can't be honest with themselves. Like, I know my flaws probably better than anybody. And if my friends are saying, Dude, you need to, whatever that it is, you need to listen.
The flip side of those friends, though, is I know at least one of them jumped on a plane and was down with you the next day.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the flip side of that, is that that love is both honest and it's also all I need to do is just, I'm going to sit next to you and you just do what you need to do. But I'm 100% right.
100%. I can't fix it. I can't make it better. I can't do anything, but I can sit here. And
that's a special friendship.
That's a special friendship. And I feel like we've been able to do that for each other. Yeah. We sit sometimes just on the phone.
Those are the types of friends where there's not like a tally. There's not a score. I've done this. This is five things that you've done. So I'm five in the hole. Those are friends you don't keep track of that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. But there are those that do. It's like a tit for tat.
Yeah. I don't have time for those.
My gut is that at our age, we don't have time for that shit. And so any of those friends we have who are willing to literally in tragedy just sit with you.
Yeah.
That has now bumped up a couple years worth.
Oh, 100%.
When my father passed away, the people who maybe were acquaintances bumped up to friends.
Mm.
Because I knew a lot of people in my school. We'd see each other reunions. But there was a classmate of mine whose father died 6 years ago. She doesn't live in Philadelphia, so she couldn't come to the funeral. But when I got home, she's like, just call me and I'll just listen.
Mm.
And that was the first person I talked to outside of my family about that loss.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we've been friends forever, but she just bumped up to another level of friend because she's just, that's what you do. And then to this other note, there are people who went, who plummeted during a period of tragedy. Maybe in midlife, it's that same kind of like, fuck it. I'm like, what? You weren't there. Fuck it.
Yeah. And also it's whatever the loss is. It doesn't have to be death, right? It could be whatever the loss is. Divorce, job, all of that,
Yeah. They need to be there for you.
And sometimes it's not the words. It's just the presence. Whether it's physical or on a Zoom or it's a text, it doesn't really matter. It's true about what they say about friends or your family of choice. A lot of people have become the family of choice.
Friendships are even more rare, unless if you're doing Bumble BFF.
And that's just another tool. How do you make friends when you're older and you don't have the kid, the husband, the work?
That is the question. Out of the clear blue, finding a human who's just going to tolerate you and you're going to tolerate them and you're going to and you'll celebrate their highs and then the lows and all that.
Right.
Out of the clear blue with nothing. I don't know how that happens.
And that's
pretty
magical.
And if it does, then you fucking hold on to that. There's talks of especially older women who are like, but why would we just get a commune?
No, 100%. 100%.
We'll hang out in one house together. We'll support each other's kids if we have them. We'll garden and we'll just be each other's family. When I did finally meet Rita lost her father about a year ago. And her father and her mother live in a place here called Leisure World, which is a community and you have people around. But then there's subgroups. So when Rita's father passed away, there's a widow's group that the mother didn't know about. And then they don't even ask. They're like, come on, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
We're your family now.
We're your community.
We're going to take you to Atlantic City. We're going to go do the things together. And it happened at the right time. And even though they know nothing about each other, the commonality is they all lost a husband.
It's a big common denominator.
And she's in her 90s and suddenly she got these new friends.
There's certain common denominators. Now, would I rather not be part of that group? Hell yeah. But thank God that they're there. Is easier as we get older in a lot of ways, that when we do meet the tribe, that once you find them,
you grab on. Certainly this podcast has brought out those people, not even just among the four of us. That's
correct.
Why the Facebook group has become something that we rely on. Told them about my losses. Not only were they there, one of the people from that Facebook group sent me flowers.
Same person sent me flowers. Can we say?
Yeah, Nikita. Thank you. And Nikita's been on the show. He subbed in.
People will continue to come in and out of our lives, even at this age. And it's how we choose to grab on and nurture. When the magic happens, and like this podcast is, to me, the magic happened. It has been the magic.
I think the catch with a lot of this is you have to release it and let the universe take control at a certain point.
Roll the dice.
Right. And
now look at us sitting here. How many years later?
I know you recently got to meet Courtney for the first time. I also know that Chris came up to your brother's memorial.
He did. Celebration of life. Yes, he did.
That's, in a nutshell, that's fucking friendship.
Oh, because yeah.
You show up. Whatever brought you together. But if you're just consistently showing up, for that person. It doesn't matter if they're virtual or you hug them for 10 minutes when you actually meet them and then they go back to virtual because now you're back in a box.
But that's okay.
But that's
because
okay.
I had that. Yeah, that's why I said it's magic.
It's magic. You actually have this fabulous rule about when you
I was about to say.
Tell about your rule when you go from text to phone. What's the rule?
So for me, texting is good for a short period of time. And then I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Can I just call you? Or can you chat? So my rule with a couple of my friends is whoever says, can we chat, is the one that calls.
That does the call.
That way you're not both calling each other and both getting voicemail messages. If you and I are texting and I say chat question mark, it means I call you.
Okay. But if I say chat
and I say yes,
I have to call. I didn't
you
know
call
that.
Me.
I fucked that up.
No. I remember sitting waiting. Are you going to call? Are you going to call?
I didn't understand it. And we did the thing that we shouldn't do, which is you were calling me as I was calling you. And we both got voicemail. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Funny.
You can
this
only
is
do
funny.
That with a friend. One of the reasons that this podcast is so fun to do, it's like talking to your friends. It's your BFFs. I got to tell you, because we record for probably an hour and a half. I will go edit it. So I hear it a second time and I'll sit there and I'll laugh my fucking ass off.
And then I hear it.
And then you hear it and you laugh your fucking ass off. The idea is that we are really good friends. We want you guys to listen and become at a distance, our good friends. Join the Facebook group so you can actually meet us and
yes.
come to our Zooms and become friends. Because at midlife, you can never say no to somebody who's going to be there for you. I'm definitely of the opinion that when you see it and you recognize the magic and the fairy dust is sparkling all around, fucking take it.
And
see what happens. All right. Well, we could sit and talk forever.
I was going to say.
We shut down that restaurant. That is it. For just the two of us this week, thanks for listening to Gen X Stories. Drop us a note at hello@genxstories.com and we may do some shout outs on a future episode. And we have merch, like real cool shit. Find out all about it on our website at genxstories.com. You can also subscribe to Gen X Stories on your favorite podcast app. Write us a kick-ass review because we love that. Follow us on Instagram at Gen X Stories or join our fabulous friend-building, ever-growing Facebook group. We all have a Gen X story. What's yours?